Blog Talk Radio.
This is Cal Nez, and it is Navajo Politics with Cal Nez on Sunday night. Or actually, it's not Sunday. It's Labor Day, Monday, and it's a few minutes after 7 o'clock. And all you listeners out there, I promoted this pretty heavily on Facebook, and I hope that everybody has dialed in or at least is waiting to get online. There's a lot to talk about, and I'm looking forward to hearing from everybody. Again, you're listening to Politics with Cal Nez on Internet Radio. Well, the topic this evening is about, as it says on the Internet, on Facebook. One of the things that I like to talk about is the primary elections. The primary elections, of course, just got over on August 26th. There were 17 candidates. I don't know if that's historic or what, but there's a lot of candidates. And the two winners, of course, for those that don't know, is Mr. Joe Shirley and Mr. Chris Deschini. And so those are the two front runners that are moving on to the general election. I think everybody is waiting to see who they're going to select for their vice president. And they're both from Arizona. A lot of people have said, well, hey, typically they all select somebody from New Mexico. However, there were other people who ran from other areas. The other areas are Utah, which is Kalnez and Kenneth Mary Boy. And then we have several from the Shiprock area, some from over in the Arizona area, and quite a variety of candidates. So one of the things that I'm looking for is for people to call in. All those who are very much interested, I've been looking at Facebook nearly every day, looking at everybody's blog. Occasionally my name pops up, and some curious discussion about when I make my comments and the replies to them, the issue on the politics on the Navajo Nation, that I'm the founder of that page, and then we've got, so some people have issues with that. I suppose, you know, they don't understand the that, you know, they're welcome to be with us, but, you know, if they're not very much satisfied with being on the page, they're welcome to move on to others or create their own. So there's a, you know, there's a freedom and a flexibility that everybody has. And so, and also want to kind of preface this evening that we have 2 hours that we're going to be talking. So I would like to have everybody call in. When you call in, please make sure that you identify yourself, use your real name, and also where you're calling from. And if you have a comment, go ahead and say your comment. Or if you have a question, ask the question and away we go. And I hope that everybody is listening in. And this is internet radio, and it's obviously it's going all over the world. So I expect a lot of people to be listening in, because the topic this evening is about the Navajo Nation primary. We have our first caller. Caller, hello, Yoyate, you're online. Whoops, he hung up. Brought him on, and or brought her on, whoever that was. They dropped out. So, callers, I would like to have you call in and present yourself. I'm looking forward to talking to everyone. And I really want to get to some of the very important issues that are going on right now. And so please call in. The telephone number here is 323-642-1708. And again, this evening's topic is going to be about the Navajo Nation primary election and what's your take on it, where do we go from here, what are some of the issues that are pressing that I, as we move forward in the next 4 years. Whoever turns out to be the winner out of Mr. Joe Shirley and also Mr. Chris Deschini. And I was hoping to hear from the other candidates. I sent them emails. I left them Facebook messages and also put out an announcement to everybody. Well, for me, the experience was really gratifying and very, very much educational. I've always looked at, you know, just going down to the Navajo Nation, going to practically just two locations. One is where my in-laws are, which is Fort Defiance, Window Rock area, and the other one is Shiprock and Sanasti, Two Gray Hills, Sheep Springs, around that area. And so I was very pleased with the reception that I've gotten from the people that I met. Most of the people that I've met are at Nda Aro Echenje, Aro Itadada, and also at NAC meetings, and also at chapter houses. I really enjoyed those. I really had a wonderful time because, in my opinion, that was the real essence of what a campaign ought to be on the Navajo Nation. And most of the experience that I got was what I really wanted to undertake. And that was, I have a philosophy, and I've been pushing this philosophy for a long time. I've been in business for a long time and doing work on the Navajo Nation, having worked very, very, very closely with President's office, Speaker's office, the Justice Department, and also various different programs throughout the Navajo Nation. So I went in there looking at what I felt was important to the Navajo Nation, which was business and economic development. Of course, we all know that the Navajo Nation government has been doing what it has been doing since it became into what we call and what we take as our Navajo Nation government of today. Of course, there's a lot of history in that. And so while I was thinking about that, I really honestly felt that the government is doing its job, but it is not enough. We all know that. And there's funding issues. There are a lot of departments and programs throughout the Navajo Nation that are politicized, literally politicized, because of appointments, because of who's in office and who's not in office. And there's a lot of that sort of things going on that we all know about. And so, but the part that I felt like that people never tapped into or never was discussed was the fact that our business and private sector of the Navajo Nation was quite lacking. And I really, really wanted to bring that to the forefront. And so that we can at least have a chance as the Navajo Nation to get to the next level, so that we can become business economically competitive to the rest of the world, the Navajo Nation's boundaries. I think the sovereignty issue, the Nazi lit, all of that discussion, I think we needed to go and really find out what we meant by that. I think there's a lot of questions that a lot of people posed before the political season came in. Where are we? Where are we as the Navajo Nation, as the Navajo tribe? and what is the direction that we're going? How are we gonna approach our next 4 years, and of course the rest of the future? So, but again, I mean, for me, I really enjoyed it. In fact, I kind of miss being on the Navajo Nation. I had a wonderful time meeting the grassroots people, shaking hands and talking with people who were at these very kind of off the beaten trail of politics. You know, typically everybody goes to chapter houses and such like that, but I took a different avenue. And but for that experience, I mean, I just absolutely felt like that I reconnected, and was, you know, it was just wonderful, and the true essence of Keh that was out there amongst the people, and I really enjoyed that. So again, callers, please call in. The telephone number here is 323-642-1708. Again, 323-642-1708. And you're listening to Politics with Navajo Politics with Cal Nez, and we're talking about the primaries. What is your take? How do you think that your candidate did? And what are the results, and what are some of the issues that are now facing with the two candidates? And is there a concern? There's been a lot of issues on Facebook. Facebook has been, a lot of people have been posting about the language, and also very strong opinion, if not a very, very emotional discussion about what defines the Navajo culture. And of course, I like to talk about that. What's your take? Who do you think is the final determining factor in terms of what is the Navajo culture? And so these are some of the issues that I would like to cover this evening. So please call in. I am waiting, and somebody called in, and I brought them on, and they jumped off. And so here is your chance. Here's your chance to talk to Cal Nez. Here's your chance to talk about some of the issues that have been on your mind. And I think that, rather than posting and saying things, why not talk about it on air now? And so I open that up. I urge you to call. Telephone number again is 323-642-1708. You're listening to Navajo Politics with Cal Nez. And we will be right back. Oh! There you have it. That is the Nazno Tahaero Tawanta, the Shinhut Oda Di Tado, Achinje. And of course, I thoroughly enjoyed being on the campaign trail and listening to all of the different ceremonies, different singers at various different locations. And boy, I tell you, that was absolutely incredible. And again, I like to hear from people. I'm waiting for calls. We have about an hour and a half left, and I'm looking for people who've had who have expressed some very, very strong opinions about some of the posts about the inability to talk, the inability to talk Navajo fluently on some of the various opinions or candidates. And so, callers, call in. I am waiting for your calls so that we can engage in a discussion to at least address what are some of the possibilities to address this issue. And so it's important. It's important because what I heard on the campaign trail, while I was making numerous presentations, I've had people basically from the audience say, I want to hear it in Navajo. Navajo je njonogo ade ni che yanstie. Ahutot in hisiatate. And also another part that people posted was that in the candidate's qualification, the qualification that says must speak Navajo fluently. And regardless if it is, it's not about any particular person. It's not about, when I bring up some of these issues, it is not against any one particular person. It is an issue that I look at it from the standpoint that the Navajo people, when we talk about the essence and keeping the integrity of the Navajo culture, when I heard that while I was on the campaign trail, people said to me, this is what defines Navajo. First of all, it is talking Navajo. And also, how that you dress is basically what a lot of people have said to me. When you're on the Navajo Nation, this is how you dress. These are some of the items that you need to wear that define you as Navajo. I also travel to the various different nda. Some of the people that were there, they were grassroots. Amasana edo tago che. Aden da kre. Aden yata tiu e hute. Dide ban si kes. Kuje huto an hinahata. This is our way. This is who we are as Navajo people. Therefore, it is important that our leadership, that people that are vying to become the Navajo Nation president, ought to be behaving like this, attending these type of ceremonies, and also what we call in Navajo Tadadin Dahil Sosij, and that is the Navajo traditional medicine people. They have basically have said, I'm talking about the people out there at the grassroots level. So that's one. And so, listeners, when I bring up and talk about this issue, I'm not talking about, it could be anybody. I'm not talking about the personalities or the person. I'm talking about the role of office of the president, or the role of being a president. That's an office. And whether it is that person or this person or whoever it might be, it's not that particular person that I talk about. What I'm talking about is that what this office represents, and also that while we talk about it, how does what I've heard and what we've said out there on the campaign trail, how does that tie in to having the ability to speak Navajo, and how important is it to us? And so while you talk about that, you know, those are some of the things that we really have got to look into. So when I talk about the politics and then some of the issues that I bring up, doesn't necessarily mean that I have any axe to grind with any of my past in terms of that I was candidate. Regardless if I'm a candidate or not, I'm still going to be a Navajo. And because that I'm a Navajo, I have a census number. And the census number and my voting right gives me that right to be able to address and to have an opinion about the Navajo Nation, about what some of these offices, some of these employment capacities, what they represent, not so much of the persons that are in there. And then how does this entire Navajo Nation, with all the requests that are being made, there is a difference about talking about a person. But if the person does not define or does not fit into the role of what is written, what is law, whether it's in a code or whatever it might be, then there should be a question. And I think that that's basically what I'm looking at to talk about. And I think that, you know, for some reason people are now taking this situation, this scenario, as though it is an attack on a specific person. Of course, that specific person might carry a certain philosophy that we're quite familiar with. And therefore, that brings up a whole nother discussion. So I've got a caller waiting on the phone, and I'll bring him on right now. Hello, caller, or he or she. And please identify yourself, your name, and where you're calling from. Hello? It's a local number, and it's 2410. Hello? I guess they have gotten shy. I'm not hope. And there goes another one. Okay. They just hung up. Well, anyway, see, these are the type of things that typically happens. When we're on Facebook, people call, you know, they write all they want to, but when we want to talk about some of the issues, when we need to bring it to the forefront and exactly what it is that we have issues with, and what are some of the justifications for saying that the language are not important, for me, you know, it goes either way, but I'm not so much interested in talking about the personality. I'm talking about the role and the rules that are written in there. Let's try it again. Here's the caller. Hello, you're on air. And they dropped out again. So anyway, you're listening to Navajo Politics with Cal Nez, and it is Labor Day, and I know people are probably out there spending time with their family as we're going into kind of somewhat of a long break, so to speak, for our next big holiday. And but this week on the Navajo Nation, the Navajo Nation Fair is starting, and since I was a candidate, I didn't get a chance to participate in the arts art show or any of that, or secure a booth for my company and to promote myself as I've done every year. I also typically have my company participate in the Navajo Nation Fair Parade, and which is the my company's entry. And so I am you know, way behind, and actually just trying to catch up on all things that I left all summer. And so, but anyway, callers, here's your opportunity. Your opportunity to talk, to express your opinion, to say, hey, you know what? I don't particularly like what's going on, or I like what's going on, but these are my reasons. I'd like to hear from you. I can't, it's one thing talking on Facebook than it is to go in there and to say, hey, I would like to share this with the general public. These are the reasons why that I stand behind these opinions. And callers, telephone number here is 323-642-1708. And I'm going to text this one person that came online twice, and when I brought them where they could talk, they just basically hung up and don't know what's going on. So it is a local number, and I wish I'd call back, and I wish the rest of you would call in, and let's have a conversation. It's been really quite interesting also on another note. When I talk about the having an opinion, you know, whether you're a candidate or not, everybody has the right to an opinion. Everybody might not agree with it, and whether it's positive or negative or indifferent, whatever it is, people need to express, because that is their opinion. And whether a candidate or a person who is run as a candidate should or should not express their opinion, I think is a little unfair. Unfair because they're Navajo. And this Navajo person can say things about the primaries or a specific way that the politics have been handled. And so while you look at the primaries, with 17 people running, that tells you something about, hey, you know what, we're fed up. But here's the two things that I've heard that were so prominent, so absolutely prominent in every person that I talk with. And this and these people, they said, number one is we want new. And number two, new and we want to change. Number two is that they said that they really wanted the Navajo language to be spoken. That's what I heard. So you can form your own opinion as to what that means, but to me it's pretty straight cut. So there's a lot of issues. Now, there are also another aspect of the candidates, and the candidates they represented various different forms and various different areas and eras and experience of our Navajo Nation politics. That particular one was that we, the Navajo people, while we're asking to speak Navajo, and also that we should consider a change. Well, what did we mean by change? And right now, the president or the two finishers, Dr. Joe Shirley Jr., of course, has served two terms from before. Now, that's not a criticism on Dr. Joe Shirley Jr. The question that I would rather explore is, was there a rule? Is there a term limit that was placed on this? And that's something that, you know, that the people, we out here, apparently it's okay. And just like to say that when I was putting my paperwork in, I drove in with my $1,500, and nobody reviewed the list of qualifications and said, okay, do you fit all of these? What have you done? Can you? And even to ask me if I spoke Navajo or not, and whether I was fluent, and all of that. And so whose responsibility was it to vet? Now, when I, as a candidate, when I put my paperwork in there, I didn't know who else had filed, and I didn't know also some of the candidates, and I didn't know their backgrounds. I didn't know what their if they had the ability to talk Navajo or not. If I was in that position, I'm sure the rest of them were also in that position as well. And that was that who was ultimately responsible for double double-check some of these qualifications. Okay, so I know who the one caller was, and I'm not sure why they called in, and then they decided to drop out. I assume they're now listening to the internet. And for all those listeners, I thank you. I appreciate you being with listening in this evening. I would love to hear from you. What you guys think, what is your opinion, and, you know, let's talk. Again, you're listening to Navajo Politics with Kel Nez, and we have about an hour and 13 minutes left in the show. And so I'd like to hear from everybody in terms of the primaries and what people thought about how things turned out, the arrangement of seatings at various different forums, and the forums, did it really do its job, and how is it that the Navajo Nation can have rules and regulations, but we tend to put them aside when it really comes down to talking about this thing. And so, again, I'm waiting for callers. I am going to post again. I am waiting for callers to call in, so we can discuss the Navajo Nation primaries. And not only was there presidents that were running, there were also council delegates. and school board, various different positions that were out there. The two front runners, of course, move on to the general elections, and so there's going to be people that are out there that are still going to be campaigning. And so while they're campaigning, you know, here's one of the things that I, you know, that what does that tell us with the pool of council delegates who are now potential council delegates, and how would they match up with the two presidential front runners? And so now with the two front runners, I sure also like to hear what your thoughts are in terms of what maybe the maybe there's certain things platform that I felt like were very, very important. But what I've seen for the past 27 years of working with the Navajo Nation, I really, really felt that the business dimension of this entire Navajo Nation government should be there and should have been added. And it is not a replacement of the government, but only as an addition. And I think those are some of the misunderstanding that I saw or felt that people did not show or talk about. And so now I can go through, and we will talk about this because, you know, there's going to be other shows. I want to bring in other candidates, former candidates, and what their perception was, because of course everybody had their own experience and how they campaigned and what they heard and whether it was something that they was contrary to what the results of the elections were. And I think that the Desh Cheney and Joe Shirley camp, I think their deadline is probably today or tomorrow to select a vice president. And if you guys have any information out there about who the vice president is, and of course all of this is about the Navajo Nation election process. I know what I saw, and I saw it firsthand. And my experiences as I move forward from here is not so much that I'm disgruntled, I'm unhappy, the results, you know, it is what it is. What can I do other than that I'm going to become the citizen that I was before I became a candidate? And while I talked about some of the people who've come on board to Facebook or have known just very little about who and what I've been doing, you know, it's been very, very interesting because my work goes back 27 years. I've been advocating on behalf of Native American business, minority business, and also Navajo business. That I think that if we can just engage and resurrect our innate ability to become self-sufficient, self-reliant, that was my intention. It will always be my intention because I believe that is the Native American way. That's the Navajo way. That is something that is going to really make people independent on a personal level as a government, as a country. If you go in there and build the economy and have it so that it is self-sustaining, that people are running and engaging in business, that only builds. And, you know, I think that that I think will work. I'm going to text this person again, see if they want to come online. Do you want to talk on air or you just listening in? So I send the text and we'll find out soon. So there's a lot of there's a lot of unresolved issues, in my opinion. I think that we, as the Navajo people, we've got to look internally. Where are we? Where do we want to go with our Navajo Nation government? Because here's some very, very interesting things that I heard at numerous chapters. How the Navajo Nation government positions itself to the Navajo people. So the mindset of a lot of the residents on the Navajo Nation has been one way, and that one way is the Navajo people ought to be relying on the government to provide some additional money, income, assistance, whatever that might be. And that has just more than confirmed what my belief has always been, is that we have gotten away from our ability to be self-sustaining, to be self-reliant, to be self-sufficient, and yet we are now relying on a government who actually is very limited in resources in terms of money and so forth like that. So let me see if this person wants to come online, and I'm going to try it again. And hello, you are on the air.
Hey, Joe. How's it going?
Are you gonna give it a shot this time? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. Hey, I appreciate you calling in. And, of course, there's a lot of people that I'm seeing that are listening on the air, and I welcome all of those, and I appreciate your call. So what's on your mind? I know who this is. So go ahead.
Yeah,
Evan
Ranger.
You got a question or a comment?
Lake.
Yeah.
I was just actually calling in to listen, just kind of catching up with the whatever the topic was. I was barely tuned in.
Mm-hmm.
But what is it you've been talking about so far?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I wanted to talk about this evening was a general review of the Navajo Nation primaries. Mm-hmm. Of course, there was the presidential 17, and then there's the 24 council seats. And so, you know, with all of the final results, so to speak, the winners of the twos that are moving on to the general election, the outcome of that, for me, I'm not looking so much at the personalities or the actual individual themselves, but I'm looking at what does this result tell us in terms of the destiny, if you will, of the Navajo Nation. Where are we going? What does that tell us? I mean, in terms of that, all I heard on the campaign trail was that we want new and we want change. The secondary to that is that the Navajo language is very, very important to us, and therefore if you're going to talk to us at a chapter or at a da or ceremonies, please talk in Navajo. Now, that was my reality. That was what I experienced. I'm not sure what the others, because I know you are affiliated with a council seat. And so that was what I was, you know, wanting to talk about, the primaries. What does it tell us? You know, where are we going from here?
Well, primaries in general, I think if we look at it, in 2010, we had, you know, about 48,000 turn out for primaries, maybe 49,000. And this time around, we had 52,000, you know, so even with the increase in population, increase in, you know, registered voters, it still represents, I think, about a 2-3% increase in voter turnout, which I think is kind of interesting considering how many candidates were running. You know, this year we had some important changes in the electorate. in the election code, you know, we've gone where before one of the requirements was that you had to reside on the reservation, you know, for at least 3 years prior to running. And so we got rid of that this time. And then we, you know, got rid of the requirement for experience, you know. So before you had to be someone living on the reservation, and you had to be someone that had experience in tribal government, you know, which basically limited your field to, you know, incumbent presidents, council delegates, past council delegates that were running for office. So I guess with the 3% turnout, you know, higher than 2010, what I kind of thought was interesting about that is just how many new candidates we had running, you know, people that, you know, had no tribal experience. What I think you see with 3% is just that they didn't get enough new voters out, you know, with 17 candidates, you know, several new, Kerry Martin, you know, Moroni Benali, you know, UCAL, you know, with that many new people running, you know, I would have expected to see more people, you know, showing up to vote, more people from off the reservation, you know, and that just didn't materialize. Now, I think that also the electorate's changing a little bit. You know, I think in 2010, if you replayed this whole race again, I don't think you would have seen Krista Cheney do as well. You know, he has some language limitations and, you know, being a little younger. And, you know, I think 4 years ago, I don't think he would have pulled as close to Joe Shirley as he did. So I think there's been some changes. I think it is changing. You know, I think that, you know, if Chris can, you know, get his campaign together and get, you know, new young people registered, get urban Navajos, younger people out to vote, you know, hopefully we see something larger than the 3% increase in, you know, overall voter turnout. So I guess that's kind of what I see is just that, you know, we had some new people come in and the electorate is changing, but it hasn't shifted enough to, you know, make a huge difference yet.
So do you think that the, you know, what people have always said, it's the traditional people who actually do the voting. Do you think that that was what it turned out to be?
You know, and that's probably going to be the case for quite some time. You know, it's the traditional people that live on the reservation still that are, you know, going to be the ones that turn out consistently. And, you know, even with the younger voters you get, a lot of them, I think you can find the younger people from the reservation that were voting for people that, you know, they were advised to by their grandparents, their uncles, their aunts. And I still saw a lot of families, you know, family politics come into play where this is who our family is supporting. You know, this guy is related to us or this guy is from our area or, you know, my grandparents really like this guy and that's who we're going to support. And, you know, I think you still see a lot of that.
Now, you know, the experience for me on the day of election was that I started and I hit about maybe 10 chapters. And in each of those chapters, one of the things that was so noticeable to me, and when I saw that, it basically validated what I've heard throughout the years, and that was the traditional people. They're the voting base. And that's exactly what I saw. And it was almost like 50-1, you know, 50 elderly voters, and then you see the occasional, you know, younger person walking in. And now, having said that, here's a real interesting thing too. A lot of people that I met, that I, as they were walking in, I shook their hands. I said, you know, my name is Cal Nez. And they said, what was your name? Cal Nez. And they're, Carl? You know, they had a very difficult time pronouncing my first name. And then Nez. And then they said, so what position are you sitting in? I said, number 14. So on the way out, one person said, oh, you know, there was no numbers on there. Dobigash Chinda. All of that, the English lettering I can read, but there was no numbers on there. So I don't know who I've who I voted for. It just kind of looked like you, and I went in there and voted for you. And so now there's that. And so I'm curious to find out, there's a Joe Shirley, 10,000, and then there's a Christus Cheen, I think, is a 9,000. What really were the two voter? Was it a real split between traditional versus the younger generation? What do you think?
You know, 17 candidates, it's hard to frame up, you know, how the people won, you know, if it was a traditional versus a younger voter sort of situation. You know, the thing about it is you have 17 people running. You have Donald Benally running, who, you know, runs with a very strong, you know, traditional base. You know, you have Dwayne, you know, Yazzie running, you know, very strong traditional base. And so a lot of it just came down to the politics of, you know, splitting different votes, which votes were split effectively, you know, which ones weren't. You know, I think you'll see a different shape up in the general elections with the choices narrowed down. And, you know, just, I mean, Chris worked hard. You know, I mean, I talked to, you know, many, many people who said they've seen him out knocking doors. You know, he had his people out knocking doors place to place. A good friend of mine from Oljeto, you know, said that's the first time she's ever seen a presidential campaign, out there knocking doors in the community. So, you know, I think that a lot of Chris's win was, you know, just having an impressive resume, you know, very well accomplished, and then just working really, really hard. And, you know, it's going to come down to, I think, in this, you know, going to be framed up one of a couple different ways. It'll be framed up as, you know, change versus the status quo, or, you know, it could be framed up as traditional versus non-traditional. You know, obviously in Chris's case, it works out better for him to be, you know, the change versus status quo candidate. But, you know, yeah, it's just hard to say with, you know, how many people were running, just how, you know, the votes were split. And, you know, I think that's if you look at why Chris won, I think that would be it. Just, you know, work, hard work and impressive resume. And that's kind of that. Mm.
What about the, what's your take on the council delegates race? Races.
Council delegate races, I'm really happy with. You know, if you look at it, you know, 12, half of the races are coming down to new person versus new person. You know, so right out the gate, we're looking at 12 new candidates, fresh, you know, brand new people. Hopefully they're going to take, you know, the job seriously, work hard, you know, avoid corruption and change that culture that's kind of developed in the council chambers over the last, you know, 30 years of, well, you know, we're elected servants. We, you know, deserve whatever little perks we get. You know, so with 12 out of 24, you know, being cases where we're, you know, going to get somebody new, and you have the other 12 races where, you know, some of them are between incumbents and, you know, new candidates, and some of them, of course, are going to lose. But I think, you know, like I was saying, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 months ago, whenever, I mean, it's going to come down to, for the first time in history that I can remember, we're going to have a situation where the council chambers are going to be a majority non-incumbents. So it's going to be a majority of fresh faces, new people, and that's really where all the policy changes happen. You know, a lot of times people say, well, we want the president to do this, we want the president to do that, and, you know, it's stuff that falls outside of the scope of the president's authority. We have a president, not a dictator. You know, he runs the executive branch, not the legislative, not the judicial. You know, people want the president to make sure their crooks are being, you know, prosecuted and so on and so forth. But, I mean, a lot of that comes down to the legislative branch and, you know, the president, of course, and it's set up this way. It doesn't have authority over them. You know, so where the council's job is to create the laws, you know, create the policies that run the tribe, you know, having new people in there, I think, is going to go a long way. So I think that that'll lead to some interesting changes. That would be nice as if, you know, we have the 12, you know, new candidates that end up winning, you know, obviously 12 fresh faces there. And then if we can have 6 out of 12 of the remaining races fall into non-incumbents, you know, well, then we have a supermajority there in the council chambers. And, I mean, just kind of a case in point, you look at, you know, our recent attempt at removing Johnny Ng. Well, the problem was they could never get quorum, and they were able to get quorum and see that. They were never able to get the supermajority needed to remove Johnny Nace from office, even though someone had just said, you know, one of his, you know, the people in his co-defendants that had just confessed for him, said that he knew he was doing something wrong, that they knew they were doing something wrong, and everybody knew it. But we couldn't remove him because 16 out of 24 delegates, they couldn't get that. They could get a majority, else they could get 12, 13 delegates, so they couldn't get those 16. And you look back at the 2010 races, you know, where in 2010, you know, 16 out of 24 of the delegates that won their races were incumbents. There were people that had been in council, you know, for 12, you know, the 12 years, 16 years, you know, whatever. You know, years and years of being in the tribal council. You know, and that's, you look at why we couldn't remove nays, that's why. We voted in a supermajority of incumbent delegates. You know, in fact, 12 of the 16 that were incumbent were facing criminal charges at the time of elections. You know, they were fighting off that discretionary fund thing still, yet we still elected them. So I think, you know, as far as the council delegate race, I'm sure my candidate didn't win, is what it is. But I am really happy to see that, you know, 12 out of 24 are going to be brand new. You know, I think that we could realistically, the 18 out of 24 be brand new council delegates. We'll have a majority, possibly a supermajority, of delegates that are new people that haven't taken a dime from the tribe. And, you know, hopefully they'll be able to enact some laws, change some policy, you know, maybe limit travel, you know, cut back on some of the expenses we have and some of the way things are done. So that's my take on the council.
Yeah. You know, the you know, as I was thinking while you're talking, you know, of those 12 incumbents, they're faced with, obviously, is it another new, or is it one of the past council delegates? What's the percentage on that?
You know, I think it's 12 of 12 new. I haven't had a chance to really sit down and go through the numbers completely yet. So I'm still working on doing that. But I want to say it's 12 of 12, brand new, never been in the tribal council.
Yeah. The because I know in one chapter, like over in Lorenzo Bates, I think the second runner-up was George Arthur. And George has been in there, you know, before. Mm-hmm. And so I remember Daniel Soule was also running in one of the areas too, and I'm not sure if where he finished and whether he's running against an incumbent or not. So yeah, so how do you you know, back to the question that I have, based on where we ended up at, you know, we know that there's a possibility of saying, okay, well, you can either frame it as traditional versus non-traditional, or, you know, what have you. But where do you think the Navajo, you know, the Navajo people, where do you think the government is headed? Because here's really what I thought. I thought we were at a real serious juncture in the Navajo politics. I thought that, you know, with all of the issues that were related to, you know, our leaders, you know, oil and gas, you've got the discretionary fund, so forth and so forth. I really honestly thought that the people were ready for somebody totally new. And that might turn out to be with Krista Sheeny in there.
Very well. I mean, it's going to come down a lot to the vice president selection. I've been saying it was today, but apparently the holiday ends up being tomorrow, you know, and who they choose in their election, and then just, you know, strategy behind the campaigns. How are they going to frame this up? Are they going to be able to, you know, frame it in the way that they want it to be run? I mean, I think it is a juncture. I mean, we're at a point where we're making some changes, and, you know, that's evident by, you know, even getting Chris into the general elections period. You know, Donald Benally, third place in 2010, and he ran a strong campaign. You know, and there's other names that are on there that are better known, but that still ended up, you know, coming in third, fourth, fifth place down the line. You know, so obviously we are making a change. I don't think 2010, 4 years ago, I don't think Chris would have done as well as he did. He may have still made it into the general election. He appeals to a lot of demographics, but I don't think he would have done as well as he did against Joe Shirley. I mean, also, you got to look at campaigns as a matter of money. You know, one of the quotes from the Kennedys is that, you know, elections come down to money. The first rule of it, second rule of campaigning is money, and third rule is money. You know, so whoever has the most money can afford to get their name out there, get their name known, and, you know, do what they need to win the election are going to win. And I think if you look at campaign finance when they come out this later this week, I think you'll see that Joe Shirley probably out-fundraised and outspent Sistish Teeny. I think that if Ben Shelley were going to report his numbers, he probably would be in the same boat. You know, so even with the money, you know, not being there, you know, being a little bit newer to, you know, Navajo tribal parliament, obviously well-known state, but being newer to Navajo, I think he did really well, and I think that shows that there are some changes coming, you know, some changes being made there.
Yeah. Yeah. So who's your prediction on the VPs?
I don't know. Too early to say. I got some ideas, but you know me.
That'd be curious to see what's going to happen. You know,
yeah.
You know, here's one of the things I wanted to kind of clear up with a lot of the listeners out there. You know, while I was a candidate, you know, it was very, very tough to be, you know, to be able to really bring up some of the issues. And, of course, a lot of the media outlets and also even the forums, I don't think that forum really did its job. I mean, it was just kind of a very, you know, I was somewhat very disappointed with the way, you know, they turned out. But, you know, nonetheless, I mean, you know, here we are, you know, September 1st, and we're moving on, you know, onto the generals. And my thoughts, and, you know, I mean, of course, I just absolutely enjoyed meeting the people out there at the grassroots level. I mean, it was just awesome just reconnecting, talking, chatting, you know, out in the middle of nowhere at these thoughts and all, you know, or even, you know, chapter houses. But now, now that it's over, one of the things that I try to do, and I think this is where people are having a very difficult time with the angle that I try to come forward, and it's just not me as a former candidate, it's the other former candidates who've been in contact with me who've basically said this, where they're still going to have an opinion. They're still going to go out there and express certain concerns or, you know, what have you. But for me, when I talk about the Navajo Nation, I try to take just a general view, so to speak. Okay, we have the Navajo Nation, we have a land base, we have chapters and so forth, we have government, three branch. But in each of these government seats, you know, whether it's the president or, you know, the judge or what have you, all of those, there is a job description, if you will. It is the office. It's what the person who vies for that particular seat. You know, I'm going to talk about the office. And what does it mean to us in terms of the cultural aspect? And every time that I, you know, I don't know if you've noticed it, I'm sure you did, but every time I post something that says something about a certain thing, you know, the replies, you know, have been just very emotional, like, you know, like they literally take it personal, you know, and then the secondary to their response is usually, oh, gee, what a sore loser. Well, it's not that I'm a sore loser, it's just that some of these questions that I've had all these years, and these questions still arise, even though that I went through the whole experience myself. You know, I don't know how your candidate, what their views are. You know, do they feel the same way, or do they feel like that they're still being muzzled, or what? What have you heard?
Well, you know, I mean, we're just going to keep working, you know, and try to do whatever we can. And, you know, it's an election. Someone's got to lose. You know, so
yeah.
I don't know that we would say we would feel that way, but, you know, we're still going to do whatever we can. And, you know, keep trying to improve the nation no matter who wins the election. So,
yeah, good point. All righty. Well, I will.
All right.
Thanks for calling in, and I hope that you will.
Yeah, you're welcome.
There's other callers that are they're trying to call in, but they keep dropping off. So I'm going to try to get one more person on the air.
All
so,
right.
Hey, thanks
well,
a lot.
Well,
and,
nice chatting with you. Good luck.
You bet. Thank you. Well, very nice. I've just always been very, very impressed with this young man. He has just got some absolutely wonderful insight on tribal politics as young as he is. I've known him since he was in diapers. Very, very wonderful young man. Just have really, really enjoyed some of his input and he's a straight shooter. So, again, other callers and, people just keep calling in and then they drop off. They call in, they drop off. I'm not sure what's going on this evening. But, again, you're listening to Navajo Politics with Cal Nez. And I urge people to call in. We have about 40 minutes, 40 minutes until we get off air and we'll go on to the next. And I guess there's not very many people, even though I'm posting online. Please call in, and I'm not having very much luck beyond the one that have been calling in and dropping off. I don't know if they have phone problems or they have begun, they've gotten shy. So again, telephone number here is 323-642-1708. Telephone number 323-642-1708. So I'll be waiting for the telephone numbers. Okay, they've all cleared up, and there's got to be some sort of a connection issue going on this evening. But again, we're talking about the Navajo Nation primaries. Like I said, for those that are just barely joining us, I mean, for me, I just totally, absolutely enjoyed the experience. There's so much more that I have discovered with the Navajo Nation and hearing at the grassroots level and having the how the government presents itself to the Navajo people. And why that I believe the way that that presentation is really impacting on the or the lack of growth that's going on the Navajo Nation. And so I will forever stand by the fact that, you know what, we've got to add business to the dimension of, to the governmental aspect. You know, the government has been doing the best that it knows how. And even in Washington, the chats have been the ideology back in Congress and Senate or the federal government is that we're going to have some more cutbacks. That has been known to the American people for quite some time. It's not just in the Native Americans, but it's in all aspects. And I think in the long run, as a representation of a 638, there's another indication that the federal government is wanting to tighten its belt, that it wants to get away from its own treaty promises. I mean, that's one way you can look at it, where, you know, let's put this huge dinosaur back into the hands of the Native Americans. If they succeed, they succeed. If they don't, they don't. That sort of a thing. And that's one way you can look at it. Now, having said that, how much of the Navajo Nation, based on the current candidates that are now moving on to win either president or the council seat, how much of these people have the experience to go out there and to talk about business and to really make the business aspect of our Navajo Nation? I realize the Navajo Nation is a government, But please understand that while I've been in politics and working with government, from the state of Utah, the governor, the legislature, and also the mayors of Salt Lake, Sandy, and various different governmental offices. One of the things that I've seen in each of these offices, and I'm sure this is no different for any other state, because what they try to do is treat it like a business. Okay? There's a difference between saying that the Navajo Nation is a government versus saying the Navajo Nation is a government and will remain a government, but it should act and behave like a government or like a business. Now, so while I talk about the role of these people that are now going to fulfill these open seats, which is the president and the council delegates, they are the two formidable lawmakers, and they steer the destiny of the Navajo Nation as to which direction that they're going to go. And, of course, the council delegates, the legislative branch of the Navajo Nation, has quite a bit of power. Now, if you look at it from that standpoint, again, I mean, this is like I said this during the campaign. I said this before the campaign. I said this several years ago, and that is that where are the current pool of candidates? Where are they going to fall into in terms of how that they make the government act like a business, while I know that they do not have little or no self-employment business experience. Now, for me, you know, there's been a great area where I haven't heard about Mr. Deschini. If he says that he's a businessman, I take him on his word that he is a businessman. And but the rest has been just, I know that self-employment experience is just not there. Now, and how much of those council delegates have that experience? Now, what I'm trying to say here is that while we look at the future of the Navajo Nation, is it something that we're going to continue to make the government be the strength of the economy and to bring resolution and to bring help assistance to the Navajo people, or are we going to take the government where it finally takes a secondary role to empowering the local people? So these are some of the questions, and I will continue to to fight on behalf of the Navajo business people, because we have a law. I didn't make this law. This law was already in place. And so there's some people that call in, they drop off, call in, drop off, call in. I'm not sure what's going on here, but sure, I'd have somebody on long enough that I can get you on the phone. And so please call in and let's talk. Let's talk about where we're going. What are we trying to do? And what was your take on the Navajo Nation primary elections? How do you suppose it's going to pan out with all of the people who are currently running? So I'm trying to get some of these people... trying to get some of these people online. There's quite a few people that are online right now, and so I'm trying to ask them to come online. So I'm going to send them a note here, and of course course, this is going to be the first of many discussions that I'm going to have about the about my experience and what your experience has been. I want to bring some more some candidates, and I tell you what, I mean, this is not going to be the last of my talks, and so I sure like to have people give me a buzz, and all those people that are now listening on the air, send me a note if you have a question. I can see quite a few people on here, so but it's going to be very important, or you know, very important to me, that I want to, oh, there we go, 303 number has just called in, and let's see if I can catch this person. Hello, this is Cal Nez, and you are on air, and we're on the Navajo Politics with Cal Nez. Identify yourself and where are you calling from?
Hello, I'm from calling from Denver. My name is Andrea.
Uh-huh.
And,
oh, hi. And,
I was,
yeah.
Hi, and I guess I know I heard you talk about some stuff. I'm not really good with business, but I do know that you were one of the candidates, and it just seemed like you have like a late start at starting your campaign.
Yeah, I was one of the last few, just literally hours before it closed. Yeah.
And it just seemed like you would have done better if you had an earlier start, is what I'm thinking. I don't know. And
well,
I really do think that we do need somebody like you, but I don't know what your thoughts about of trying again in like 4 years. Or...
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said times before, I would like to have an opportunity to, you know, to have, if the people really, really want me, I would sure like to get in there and, you know, to do so. But, you know, I think the backing has got to be so very, 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 there's got to be some serious commitments. And, of course, money is a huge issue. Unfortunately, you know, I had one business that was, you know, that was backing me, and also, of course, with my savings, which I nearly cleared out, and yeah, I mean, who's to say, you know, that in 4 years, but in terms of filing late, or actually entering late, a lot of people did say yes, you know, the rest of the candidates had at least about, you know, 6 months jump on you. And so the name ID is going to be what's going to be very important to a lot of these people. So, you know, I will stand on the fact that, you know what, like I said, the Navajo Nation, we have a government. And the government runs, you know, like I've heard it. I personally have sat in on way at the chapter level, where the governmental officials present themselves to be that we are, it's our duty to, quote, feed you, so to speak, you know, that we, you know, you look up to us and we're the one that's going to bring back money, this and they, and where that dependency is kind of like continuing on, and which I think was established way back when, you know, during the treaties. But since then, we fast forward to today, my platform was basically about business, and I'm going to continue to push business and say that the business, you know, is another tool that we can use to, you know, to move forward. And but I do appreciate what you're saying. So what's your observation about moving into the future? where do you see us now?
Well, I don't know. I've been, I do live in Denver and I've been off the reservation for some time, and so I really don't know. And it's kind of, I guess it's kind of sad that I don't read Navajo Times and stuff like that. And so I'm kind of feel like I'm out of the loop, but I just know that it just sounds like it's a really bad situation to where we don't have a good advocates, is what I'm thinking, for a Navajo nation, where it just, I don't know, it just seems like there's not, just not progress forward. It's just either backwards or maybe just in the, it's just status quo. I don't know which it is. And so it just really sad. I mean, and it just seems like we need a leader that's really going to be a good advocate for people, and it, that understands everything. I mean, not just what to do with the Navajo nation, but with outsiders. And somehow take us into the future. That, I think that's what the kind of leader that we need.
Yeah. Well, you know, I really, really, you know, appreciate you bringing that up, because I think that, you know, what's really baffling to me as I look at the results of the primary, and that was that, you know, I heard people just say, we want to be self-sufficient, self-reliant. And I've heard that, and I know absolutely without a shadow of a doubt that the Navajo people are ready, basically almost word for word about what you just said. And I do appreciate it. So thank you for calling in, and continue to listen in. And I hope that you feel welcome to always call in. And we're going to be talking about more of this. And the next show, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about how my journey started. And I've got two other candidates who are willing to come in and to share. So I do appreciate it. And I'll put you back on hold. I got another call coming in. And
okay.
Thank you so much for calling in. Okay, we have another caller. Hi. The phone number is 4090. Could you identify yourself and where you're calling from? Hello.
Is that me, Cal?
You're online. Please identify yourself and where you're calling from so that the listeners know. Hi, Sylvia.
Okay. Hello, Cal. I am driving east on I-40, as usual. I'm just like you. Pretty much all summer we were always driving one way or the other. But I want to touch on a couple of things that you've touched on today. One, first of all, I just wanted to tell you that I supported you from the beginning, and it's unfortunate that you did not make it in the primaries. There are a lot of different reasons. One, probably because you did not start early enough, is a very valid reason. And what I supported and I continue to believe also, and I share your belief about the importance of running a government like a business. And I think maybe people may not understand what that means. For me, it means utilizing successful business principles to make a government successful. And like you said, across all the states, many of them run their state governments like a business, a private business. They use private business practices and utilize the funds that they have to the best that they possibly can. And they're always reevaluating and moving money around. And if they need to make cuts here and there. That's what you have to do, just like a regular business. I'm going through two hills, so hold on. And I believe, just like you said about the 638, that is a similar, it's going in the direction of a private business entity, and there are pros and cons for that, and you already touched on that. The pros is that we as a nation learn how to be self-reliant, self-sufficient, which is one of your mottos when you ran for president, and which I support. And the con that you touched on also is that the federal government looks to us and say, okay, you want to be truly sovereign and you want to function like a private entity. Okay, well then we're no longer going to be obligated to our treaty agreement, because by saying we want to function like a 638 private entity, we are also saying that we are capable of surviving on our own. And so the federal government gets this message that we no longer want their money. But I believe we need to make a transition, and I think we should be prepared for future budget cuts. And so that's where the 638 and private entity functioning like a quasi-government business, just like a lot of the organizations that Navajo Nation owns. For example, KTNN Radio is a quasi-government. You got NAPI. You have a lot of, you know, other quasi-governments that are partially subsidized by the Navajo Nation government. And using that same concept, the federal government pretty much 100% subsidizes the Navajo Nation government. The Navajo Nation has used some of their sovereign status to enter into business contracts, such as the coal mine and all those things. But we know that the environmentalists do not want that. So the Navajo Nation has to find another way to be able to get a lot of the revenues. And so this needs to be understood. When we have to make a transition from relying on the federal government, we have to find another way to be able to fill the void that the revenues that come from a coal mine comes from. So it's that's millions and maybe billions of dollars that the Navajo Nation collected over a period of years that they will be losing as a result of environmentalist pressure to not do any more coal mining. So you have to look at the pros and cons, and that is a business mindset, to look at a potential decision. You have to look at the pros and cons of everything. And if you need to make cuts, then that's where you need to make them. So that's the difference between being 100% reliant on the federal government and being a private sector business structure. And I believe, like you do, that the Navajo Nation is in a position, I think, to make that transition, but I don't think we can make it. We can't jump into that right away. We need to make a gradual transition into that. And I think you helped to change the mindset. And sometimes it takes some time for people to understand what that means. And I really appreciate you sharing that concept. And people will have a chance to look, you know, to understand what you mean by using business principles. I think they're excellent principles, and I think the Navajo Nation is capable of being independent, and our people are in a position that they can too, and we have to rally around one another and believe that we can and not pull one another down. And that's another con that I think we need to change. And regarding, I'm trying to remember what else you were talking about, but I think I'm really excited about the direction that the Navajo Nation has taken. I know it's a, I made a comment regarding the Navajo language thing, just to preface what I'm going to say. I don't speak Navajo fluently, and I hesitated to run for any Navajo Nation office because I wasn't fluent. And I didn't believe I would be qualified to run, but I was encouraged to run, and I ran, and I did not make it, and I accept that fact, and I wish the best for all those that made it in the primary. But my biggest concern was that we have a law, and I think we do need to honor it. And I think, I know Ammon made a couple of comments about how Burl and other previous candidates, Joe Shirley, contested some of the disqualifying factors in previous campaigns, but they're not like national language.
Sylvia, we're starting to lose you. You're probably going through another hill. So, yeah, that is, okay, are you still there? Are you still with us? It looks like we lost her. So, yeah, she's bringing some very, 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 very important points to this discussion. Because, like I said, I mean, I think that, you know, the Navajo Nation is in a position where, you know, we're ready to move to the next level. And you know, whether I'm a candidate or not, I'm going to advocate that the Navajo Nation is ready to do business. I'm not talking about the government. I'm talking about the people. And I think the people ought to be given the opportunity to establish businesses. The mechanism is already in place, the Community Land Use Planning Committee, and they call themselves TLUPSI. And so that was a new thing that I discovered, and I was very, very pleased to hear that they were in place, that they were doing the work that they were doing. So we got another caller. Hi, caller. This is Cal Nez, and you are on Navajo Politics with Cal Nez. Who am I speaking with, and where are you calling from?
I got the politics people on the line. It's pretty cool.
Hello. You are live on air with about a million people out there.
Hold on.
Hello. This is Cal Nez. You're on air. We can hear what you're saying.
Hello?
Yes, hello. Yes, this is Cal Nez. You are on air. Do you have a? Can you tell us your name and where you're calling from?
This is Buddy Jeans calling from Tucson, Arizona.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Hello, Buddy.
Hey, sir. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing what you guys are doing up there. And as I was writing on Facebook, this is the first time in like 22 years I actually feel like part of something on the Navajo Nation, you know. And prior to that, growing up and stuff, every time I hear stuff about, you know, my parents or my aunts, my uncles, my cousins, they all talk about what was happening in politics, you know. I think that guy, McDonald, or anyway, that guy, I think he won't.
Hello? Hello? Well, there you go. We have another caller who just dropped. So I'm not sure what's going on. So hopefully, I guess there's nobody on the blog talk section to carry on our conversation or to hold our callers in place because they're off today. There's a little note that says there's going to be no customer service. So I appreciate it, all those callers that have called in. And, you know, I'm also curious to hear what other people are saying in terms of what your take is on the other candidates and where we're going from here and how we're going to reach our goal, and are those goals important enough, and what do the two current candidates? And there was the talk about the face on Facebook about language. There was also one Facebook posting that I saw, which was about maintaining the integrity of the Navajo culture through its First Lady and through the ability to speak Navajo. And so I'm curious to find out how who the new vice presidents are going to be. You know, 4 years ago we had two candidates, and you know, we know how the outcome came out with that, and I think it came down to the vice presidents really carrying the votes or didn't carry the votes. So, but in any case, yeah, please, we only have about 10 minutes. 10 minutes left in the call, and we're talking about the Navajo Nation primaries. There's a lot of talk, on the on Facebook. I urge you, listeners out there, to give us a call, to share your opinions, for you to say the what's on your mind, how that you felt like that the primaries went, if your candidate went well or didn't go well, what is it that, you know, what you felt like, where's the Navajo Nation going? Are you satisfied with the direction? And all of this. And if there are certain things that didn't fall right in your, in the direction that you're thinking about, well, what could have been the alternative? And so these are some of the things that I'd like to hear from you. And it's quite interesting. Okay, I've got some posts on the internet saying that having a hard time listening, keeps dropping. Well, sorry everybody. You know, Blog Talk people just told me that they don't have any customer service. That's probably why things keep dropping. But please give us a call, even just to say hi and where you're calling from. This goes all over the world, and I've got several people that I see are on the show with us this evening, and I am just very, very, very pleased. And thank you for all those who have joined us and who've called in. I would like to hear from you again. This is going to be a series of primaries, the candidate, I as the candidate, what I did, what some of the things that were quite interesting as I was out on the campaign trail. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about some of the, you know, what's a rule and why the rules, why the laws, why certain things, and at what point, you know, certain things that really, really are important to us while we're in the heat of it. But then as soon as it doesn't swing our way, it's okay, and we're willing to bend some of the rules. And also, you know, how pure do we want our the honesty and the integrity of our candidates, and to be able to say, hey, you know what, you know, we expect this from you, and this is how we want to move forward, and are there plans for the future? And so there's a lot, ladies and gentlemen, for us to talk about. And sitting there, not dialing in, not sharing your opinions, although I see lots of your opinions, some very, very strong opinions, I want to have you guys call and talk to me. I want to be able to hear from directly from you here on the air, because you know what? There's nothing more than knowing, having walked that trail, and to speak from that trail, and to be able to look at and how that experience ties into your life's goals. So I, as a candidate, this is what I saw, how I saw it, and all of a sudden we have, let's see, about 6 minutes. So I'm going to bring Sylvia back on. And hi, Sylvia. It looks like you went through a canyon or something because we dropped you. We only got just about 6 minutes left, so go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm almost in gallop now. I just wanted to finish off what I was going to say regarding the language. My biggest concern is the message we are sending to our children if we excuse somebody who does not speak the language. I have great respect for Chris, and I encourage him to run. Of course, my candidate didn't make it, but I think that's my biggest concern is the sacredness of the language and the message we send out to the world. And I guarantee you, the world is going to be watching when they find out that we, let's say that Chris does win. We will have set a precedent, which means from here on out, language will be irrelevant. And anybody who speaks only English can run for president of the Navajo Nation. We don't go back. It's very, very hard to go back. Once you set a precedent, and that's why it's called a precedent, is that when you set that precedent, you cannot go back. So that's the main message I wanted to send, and thank you for doing such a great job in your blog talk, and have a wonderful week.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Right.
Well, and we're gonna bring Buddy back on. Buddy, you got cut off.
Yes, sir, I did. It was my fault. I was trying to do two things at once. Anyway, real quick, and I was answering that time. The same thing I hear stuff like that is it's going to be hard to change. Or he did something. I'm talking about Chris Ishii. He did something or anything else. Yeah, he did something, but I think he's man enough that he's going to take care of it. You know, bottom line is us guys, the Navajo Nation, the people, and everything else. We got the power. We got the stuff to change this stuff. I made a list of things on all that little stuff that was coming up. And that's what really influenced me is. I understand aside and everything else and have people still say something about who's doing what, take notes about it, get a team together, and get something done. And right now, each and every one of those guys that ran for certain offices, they still got that influence with those people that they say they lost or I voted but I lost. No, you didn't lose. You finished the race. You know what I mean? Every one of them finished what they started. So therefore, you ain't losing. What's losing is if you don't do anything when you know that something needs to be done, you got everybody else around you. Right now is the time to get those information. We're in the information age right now. Go on Facebook, write all those names down, and get their contact number and do something about it. You know, as far as the language and anything else, you know what? We got families and everything else right there. It starts with the home first. It starts with the person that needs to start, you know, taking control of his body and everything else, his mind and his spirit. Then you can go from there to your household, your children, your grandchildren, and then from there you go to your neighbors, and then from there you go to your one your block, and then your chapter house and all that. You know what I mean? It starts with the person first, and that's all I'm saying is I mean. I'm already on my path to try and get back up there and do something. It's just going to take a little bit of time and everything else, but I guarantee you, I don't quit, and I don't get by when something right now, man, I mean, it just got to be done, you know? There's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of us, this generation right now, we can do this stuff. We've been through a lot, and we can do it. You know, the elderly, no. Take notes from that. The children, you know, we got to do something for them. But education and knowledge, don't limit the children. Don't say that it's too hard. Don't say that they can't do it. My sister, she was a single parent there. You know, graduated high school with honors, went to U of A and everything else with honors, man. You know, single parent, holding jobs, still keep going. You know what I mean? So don't say that we don't got the strength or nothing else. It can happen. You know? But I think it just takes one person to actually do something. All right.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. Well, I so what exactly are you what do you think we should do in terms of the language issue? I mean, who's ultimately responsible, and how important is it?
Am I still on there?
Yeah, you're still on there.
Okay, yeah. First of all, I want to learn Navajo, and since maybe 3 years ago and everything else, I saved up some money, I did a couple of jobs, got a laptop, got an iPod, and you see that little video I showed you, how no quit attitude and don't no barriers, man. I got the iPod, I got the little iPad thing, I got the phone, I got a backup phone. So right now I'm looking. There's a person that I seen that had an app thing for your phone that teaches you Navajo. I mean, there's stuff on the internet. I mean, there's information. It's just there's you tell me you can't do something, I'm gonna go out and show you can. And now
yeah. Oh, it looks like we lost them again. Anyway, we have about 29 seconds thereabouts. And so welcome, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank each and every one of you for calling in and for listening in. This is quite a huge listening audience this evening. Thank you very much for being with us. And we will talk to you next we'll try to do this within the next 2 days or so and keep talking about this thing because some of these issues are very, very important. Thank you.